How many are ready for the Word of God tonight? How many are ready for the Word of God tonight? As I begin to share what God laid on my heart for you, as I share this, I'm going to prophesy this whole word tonight, because this is a prophetic word to this church. At the beginning of the year, as I shared earlier, sometime yesterday, I don't remember, you know, December 29th is my anniversary, and my wife and I celebrated our 30th anniversary on December 29th this last year. So it's right at the beginning of the year. During the month of September, over the last few years, we preached in about four churches in the state of Arizona. And we had a few days off for our anniversary. And so my wife and I, we flew into Phoenix, and then we preached in the area outside of Phoenix within driving distance, 2 or 3 hours away. And then when we had our anniversary, we took a few days off, and we went to an area called Scottsdale, Arizona. Probably, arguably, one of the nicest areas in the country in Arizona. Now, as my wife shared, basically, my wife and I, after these meetings, we don't go home because we have a home, but we don't live in it. We're on the road 365 days a year. But with that, there are certain benefits that are added to that. One of the benefits is this. My wife and I are what you call Hilton Diamond members. In order to become a Hilton Diamond member, you have to stay in one of the Hilton hotels at least 60 days within the 12-month period, within a year. We way past that. I think we're premium or something. Now, with that comes certain benefits. For instance, when I check into one of the Hilton hotels, if they have it available, they automatically upgrade me to their nicest suite. And so, and plus, we were in Hawaii in February, and we stayed at the resort 11 days absolutely free because we have so many points. So there are certain benefits with that. And so back in December, she booked a hotel there in Scottsdale, a Hilton. We checked into the hotel, but they didn't upgrade us. So we decided, you know what, you know, because we wanted to, it was our anniversary, so we decided, you know what, let's go down the street. So we checked right out, and she booked another hotel. And so we went to that hotel. We went in the room. They didn't upgrade us either. Okay? You know what I'm saying? You know, so. And so Melana says, no, let's not stay here. So she contacted another hotel about 5 miles down the road, another Hilton. And so we check in, and before we got the key, I told the receptionist, I said, listen, this is our third hotel tonight, because it was Sunday night after church, and this is our third hotel tonight. Is there any way we can get an upgrade? And so then the lady said, Mr. Harkey, we're not too busy. Here's what we want to do for you. How about the ambassador suite? I said, I'll take that, you know. So sure enough, we load the luggage into the room and walk into the suite, and it's 1,500 square feet with a fireplace. And then Meliana calls down and has the guy deliver wood to our room, and then light it for us. And we're sitting there, and you got to understand, we live in a hotel, and so we like to have some space once in a while. And I'm sitting there, and God speaks to me. And he says, to tell the people of God that if they're willing to pay the price, I'll give them the greatest upgrade that they could ever receive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm not talking about just a nice room. I'm talking about an upgrade in the anointing. I'm talking about an upgrade in the revelation. I'm talking an upgrade in healing, an upgrade in ministry, an upgrade in every area of life. Can I tell you, church, God wants to give this church in this year its greatest upgrade. Are you hearing me? Because, now I can tell you this right now. If I was not a Diamond member, I could not walk up to the to the reception. If I had not paid the price of staying at least 60 nights, I could not walk up to the receptionist and demand an upgrade. But because my wife and I had paid the price, we could demand an upgrade. Church, here's the interesting thing. I can't just say, God, I want an upgrade. I got to be willing to pay the price. I got to be willing to do what he tells me to do, and I have to be willing to do whatever he tells me to do so that he can bless me. Now, church, turn into your Bible tonight to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Most of you in this room tonight are aware of this story. I'm going to preach this story much differently than you probably heard it. We know it as a historical event that the church actually began in the book of Acts. It was birthed in the book of Acts. Now, let me just tell you this. My concern is for the church. And because of our type of ministry, we love the church. We want to see the body built up. And my concern is, If the church, the further the church gets away from the book of Acts, the more unlike the church we become. Are you hearing me? The further away we get from the book of Acts, the more unlike the church we become. Because the church actually is supposed to be a continual act of the Holy Spirit. Come on, church. That's how church life is supposed to be. So, I'm going to say this to you. Many will preach this regarding a demonstration of the power of God. And yes, there's a demonstration of the power of God. Many will people will preach it as a historical event that happened in the history of the church. And yes, it was a historical event. But I'm going to preach it as a parable tonight. Because here's the problem in the church. There was an absence of presence and power. There was an absence of presence and power in the church. And nobody has to tell me about the absence of presence and power in the church. Because what is a crippled man doing at the gate of the church? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because listen to what it says as I lay this out. Because see, here's what God is saying prophetically to this church. This house is called to be a house where dreams come true. Are you hearing what I mean? That people that are so broken, so beat up, so hurt, so immature that all of a sudden they come into a house where the presence of God is and the power of God is demonstrated that all of a sudden their dreams come true. Now, church, keep your finger on the book of Acts. I want you to turn with me because I want to read a psalm. I want to read this psalm. I love this psalm. It's Psalm 126, verse 1. And it says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion. Church, you know what? I understand that people are in captivity. I understand an entire nation is in captivity. Come on, church. But I can also tell you this, when you've been held captive and all of a sudden God sets you free, there's a whole new energy, a whole new excitement, a whole new life that comes on you. Because listen to what happens. It says, when the Lord brought us back from captivity of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? In other words, we got our dream back. Because as long as a church is in captivity, we don't dream. Or as long as you're in chains, as long as you're in bondage, you don't dream. But once you get out of your bondage, you start dreaming. Because here's what God wants this church to do. He wants everybody in this church to start dreaming. I'm here behind this pulpit because I had a dream. A dream that God would use me. I didn't know how. I never went to Bible college. Or come on, church. I never got any training. I just had a dream. And when you have a God dream, church, when you have a God dream, you know what God will do? He will begin to develop your steps. He will begin to move things in your path so that the God dream comes to pass. I'm not talking about an American dream. I'm not talking about a dream for more money. I'm not talking about a dream for success. I'm talking about a God dream. Because what was happening is the church at this particular time in the book of Acts wasn't dreaming. Can't there be one church in Madison, Indiana that's dreaming? Are you hearing me? Can't there be one person in this room? I'm dreaming. You know what? I've only been here one day. This is my second day. I'm already dreaming for this church. You know what I'm dreaming? I'm dreaming that this altar, this platform goes back another 100 feet. I'm dreaming that this walls go back another 200 feet. I'm dreaming that thousands of people come in here to be healed and miraculously touched by the power of God. I'm dreaming that every drug addict, every prostitute, every homeless person, every person that has an orphan spirit comes in this room and all of a sudden the power of God touches them. I'm dreaming these things. Are you hearing me? See, when you're dreaming, you don't have time to get to know what, you don't care what the color of the carpet is. You don't care who's singing up on the worship team. You don't even care who's preaching because you're too busy dreaming about what God's getting ready to do. You're dreaming. And the thing was, is this is what happened. So when the church isn't dreaming, what God doesn't just stand back and say, I'm going to let the church die. He doesn't do that. He raises people up. He raises people up. So you got to understand how there's a reason why I bring my wife up every single time. Because you got to understand, 30 years ago, she couldn't speak English. It's an absolute miracle for her to stand up and speak to a group of people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's a dream. It's a dream. Come on, church. Because if we're not dreaming, what it does is we get tossed to and fro by life. Life begins to devour us because we're not dreaming. Now, church, we're not dreaming God's dream. Now, turn back to me to the book of Acts. I want you to see this. You've got to see this. That's what it says. Now, it says, now Peter and John. Everybody say Peter and John. Seems like we've been talking about Peter and John. So you've got zeal and love. You get zeal and love in the same church? Oh, look out, devil. Look out, people in captivity. When you got zeal and love operating in this together, you know what begins to happen? You've got people that aren't going to stay crippled. They're not going to stay broken. They're not going to stay in their sin. They're not going to stay in their issues because zeal and love is going to do something about it. So it says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Now, you got to see this. There's something we have to understand something. This is why Pastor Shane was all up in my message tonight. Because we didn't talk about it. He did not know what I was going to preach. I did not know what he was going to say. He did not tell me that he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit going down the road. But listen to me. No Jew would show up to church. See, they didn't just go up to pray. No Jew would show up to church without an offering. In other words, their whole way of approaching church, that I don't just come to get, I come to give. When you're not dreaming, you want to come to get. You just want to grab. You just want to grab something, whatever you can. As Pastor Shane said, consume. You just want to come and grab something. I want to grab this. I want to grab that because I want to feel better. Come on. But what happened was every single Jew that came into the temple knew that they had to put something in the temple treasury. This is why that every single Jew brought silver and gold. They didn't just go to pray, they came to give. Which means the whole shift, because I understood exactly what the Holy Ghost was speaking through your pastor, that we come to church with this idea. I don't come to get, I come to give. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And what I mean by giving is not just monetarily. I give my service, I give my time, I give my energy, I give all of myself. Are you, come on, church. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not just limited to you putting an offering in the bucket. I'm talking about giving your time and your energy to what God is dreaming for this house. Now, but you notice this. Listen to this. A certain man, lame, verse 2, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. Everybody say carried. I think this is the problem with our country. If I have to carry you to prayer, if I have to carry you to give, if I have to carry you to serve, if I have to carry your spiritual life, then something is wrong with that picture. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I shouldn't. I know people that have been to be carried for 30 years. Come on, sir. We have to carry you. We have to be so sensitive to you because you have to be carried all the time. You always have to be carried here and there. I better not talk to you. I have to carry you because you get oversensitive. Come on. Church, if we have to carry people to church, then they really don't want to be there. Oh, come on, right. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have outreach, that we don't feed the hungry, that we don't do things out in the community to let the community know that here, we're here to help you. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about what in the world is a guy in the church supposed to have power and presence being carried? Now, notice this. See, I believe in helping the poor, clothing, feeding, doing acts of kindness. We need to do this as a community, as a church, as part of our acts of love. They're acts of love as we give to those less fortunate than we do. That's what we are called to do, that the Bible makes it clear. But you got to understand. See, our current welfare system has now gotten completely one-sided. And it's created a culture that doesn't have to dream. You follow me? In other words, I got a roof over my head. I've got food to eat. I've got medical. So I've got the basic necessities of life. I can watch cable TV. I can do whatever I want. And I don't have to do nothing. Then I get paid. You follow me? So what was turned out to be something to help people has now created an atmosphere where people no longer have to dream. That's what I'm talking about. So this guy's carried there because he has a welfare mentality. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing me? And when we have a welfare mentality, guess what's going to happen? We're going to be in the same place a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's not what God wants for this house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants everyone in this house to dream, to walk, that I can have a better life, that my life can be something else. Now listen. Now notice what he says. Notice the language here. He says, who may lay daily. Everybody say daily. So that means it became a habit. Now I love this because they have Macy's in Indiana. I'm sure they do. I know they have Macy's in Kentucky, in Louisville. I noticed they didn't bring him to Macy's. They brought him in front of the church. They didn't put him in front of Walmart. Come on, they brought him at the gate of the church. Now, why do you think they brought him at the gate of the church? We've already established every single Jew has silver and gold in their pocket. Oh, come on, church. And they knew the people that carried him. Oh, come on, church. The people that carried him there knew that the church folks had silver and gold in their pocket. And when they saw his condition, come on, it was easier to drop money in his can than it was to pick him up. Oh, church. Oh, come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Because we got to understand, it is easier for us to give money into the situation rather than pick up a generation. Because if money was the answer to our problems, then this nation would have none. Because it's the wealthiest nation on the planet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The problem isn't money. The problem is nobody's dream. Oh, come on, church. The church isn't dreaming. Come on. So obviously, because he's there daily, obviously every day, that means his needs are being met and the people that are carrying him is getting some kind of cut out of it. Which is a scam. I remember this. So I'm in this place called Oroville, California. It's about an hour above Sacramento. So the pastor has a membership to the gym. And he gave me the card to the gym so I could get into his gym. And I went to it was in a strip mall. And so I pulled the car up to go into the gym to jog a little bit. And so as I am approaching to put my card in, here comes this gentleman. And this gentleman, he looks like he's in his early 20s, you know, young man, looks very healthy. He hands me a piece of paper. He says, it says, I'm deaf. Can you help me, you know, financially? And I look at him. He looks pretty healthy. And so I said, yeah, I can help you. So I said, sir, here's what I want you to do. Can you put your little papers down? Because here's what I want you to do. I want you to lift your hands up because here's what I want to do. Here's how I'm going to help you. I'm going to lay my hands on you, and the Holy Ghost is going to open your ears. So as soon as I went to lay my hands on the gentleman took off running. And as he's taking off running, right, like this, he's got his back turned. I said, hey, let me pray for you. And he turned back at me and said, no. Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying, church. That's exactly what was happening at the gate. What is that doing happening at the gate of the church? And guess what? The church folks was putting money in his can and actually keeping him in that condition. Because here's what was happening in the church. There was no presence. There was no power. Because I don't know. I believe there's some people here on a Monday night that's contending for something more than silver and gold. This nation doesn't need silver and gold. It needs what that poor fisherman had. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It needs the same. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't change. The Holy Spirit didn't diminish. Are you hearing me? It didn't diminish over the last few thousand years. What's the problem? The problem sometimes is the church is not dreaming. Because let me just tell you, God wants to pick up this city. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He wants to pick up every young adult. You know, we're staying downtown, and there are hundreds of young adults walking up and down the street. They have no dream. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can you imagine if the spirit of prophecy is so thick in this church when they walk in as a visitor? Come on, church. And all of a sudden, somebody calls them out, or somebody in the foyer, or somebody just lays their hand and begins to speak God's dream in their life. Oh, church. It says, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms to those who entered the temple. See, not only is the church facilitating his hopelessness, but they're also robbing God. Oh. Because anytime I give my money to that which is designated to God, I'm robbing God. This is why. Listen. If you're going to rob somebody, let me give you some wisdom. Don't rob God. He's the worst person to rob. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I've come to the conclusion, you know, I remember, you know, I'm 22 years old. This is 30 years ago. I'm 22 years old. I never grew up in church. And when we went to church, my parents were Presbyterian, so all we went to church was on Easter and Christmas. Are you hearing? The rest of the year, we never went to church. Now, they weren't bad people. They weren't druggies or alcoholics. They were good, just working people. But my paradigm of church, so I come into this Pentecostal church. I give my heart to God. The second Sunday, I'm 22 years old. Pastor Morocco is preaching on Malachi, saying, if you don't tithe, you're a robber. You can rob God. I turned to my wife and I said, honey, I've been robbing God for 22 years. I said, I'm done. Pastor Morocco didn't even get to the altar call. I went to the front. I said, God, I've been robbing you. I've been robbing you. I'm done robbing you. And I've been a tither for 30 years. And I've seen God's church, and I'm not just, because you know what? I didn't tithe for economic blessing. I tithe out of obedience. Church, and I'm telling you, we you got to understand, my wife and I were so broke when we got married that when we went to McDonald's, we would share a Happy Meal. And after we ate it, we weren't very happy. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. And we got this truck. I buy this truck for $300. It's called a Maui Cruiser. It wasn't a Nissan. It was a Datsun. Yeah. And this thing, it ran good. However, it had a few issues. One of the issues that it had was when you sat down to a stick shift, it was a 5-speed, and when you looked down on the floorboard, you could see the road clearly. I'm going to know what I'm talking about. Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about. I bought that truck for $300. When I bought that truck for $300, the tires were bald. And so I took it into the tire shop and had them put tires on it, and the tires was more than the truck. Meliana didn't like the truck, but I was working construction. That was our only vehicle. So, you know what? I'm 22. I committed to tithing, you know. Because you make this commitment, you're going to be tested. I mean, we're living from paycheck to paycheck. We're not too happy with the Happy Meals, you know. And we're always hungry. You know what? We're so thankful when other couples in the church invite us over to eat. Come on. And so we're driving home from a Sunday night meeting. It's late. And all of a sudden, we're 7 miles from the house. And we lived in what they call upcountry Maui. So it's a rural area, not in the city. And we lived in this tiny little cottage. And the clutch goes out in the truck. Now, my wife is already not happy from the Happy Meal. And now she don't like the truck, and now the clutch goes out. Now, church, back then, they didn't have cell phones. And besides, the cell phones were this big, remember? You know what I'm saying? And of course, I didn't have a bank card, AAA. I didn't have what I got today. I can't call. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. There's no payphone around. And I'm going, oh, God. And I just dropped my tithes check. And you know the devil, oh, hey, this is what you get. This is what you get. You could have saved that money, and you could have put a new clutch in this truck. So Meliana's sitting there. I'm sitting there. I'm saying, God, what am I going to do? I can't, you know, how I'm 7 miles from home. I can't even see any lights and houses close by. So this is what I did. I stuck the truck in reverse and drove it in reverse 7 miles home. Of course, 30 years ago, that was legal here in Madison, you know. Church, that's why I'm so thankful for my rent-a-car. Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? I ain't looking at the road. Are you hearing me? But listen, they laid him daily. Now, verse 3. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms. I love this. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Everybody say, look at us. Church, hear me what I'm going to tell you. Everybody else in the church dropped money in his can, except Peter and John. You know what they did? They engaged in a conversation. If we don't engage in a conversation with people, we'll never be able to pick them up. Because sometimes it's easier to give money than to talk to them. You know what I'm saying? It's easier to give some money than to talk to them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To speak the mind of God, the heart of God, the dream of God, to pray for them, to lay hands on them, to prophesy. It's easier just to write a check. But listen to this. And you can see where he's living. So we gave them his attention. Now here's the key phrase. Expecting to receive something from them. Everybody say that. Expecting to receive something from them. Church, here's the problem. The problem is he came to church expecting to receive something from people instead of expecting to receive something from God. Church, hey, I hope you didn't come tonight to expect to receive something from John and Meliana or something from Jeremy. I hope you came to church tonight expecting to receive something from God. Because listen, church, if we come expecting to receive something from the pastor and his wife, more than likely they're not going to meet our needs. Come on, church. But if we come to church expecting to receive something from the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you something right now. The Holy Ghost is here to give us our expectation. But see, when you're a consumer, you're expecting to receive something from somebody. Instead of coming, and notice, he only give them his attention when I'm going to get something from you.
Otherwise, I'm not going to even pay attention to you. But now that I'm thinking I'm going to get something from you, then I'm going to give my time. I'm going to give my view. I'm going to give my attention to you. But church, hear this. See, do you know why? Because all his dream was, all his expectation was, just silver and gold. Church, if my expectation, if my dream is only about how much money, oh, that dream is too small. Are you hearing me? Then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to stay paralyzed. I'm going to be like Meliana. I'm going to be like Meliana halfway up the hill. Yeah. Come on, church. Completely paralyzed, not able to move because my dream it can go only further than my pocketbook. Church, I'm going to tell you something. God, yes, I understand we need lights. I understand that we need money. I understand all that dynamic. But I can tell you this. This church will not just be built by silver and gold. This church will be built by God's word. Or come on, God's dream. Come on, by his power, by his presence. Are you hearing? And as we become people of his presence, that's what will build the church. Oh, come on. Because if all our dream is limited to how much I have, oh, wow, I'll never step on out on faith. I'll never believe God. You know, one of the, I'm just going to say this to you. One of the things that I see, you know, I know a number of churches across the country. They got a lot of money in the bank, but no people. There's something wrong with that. You mean, I know a church that's got $150,000 in the bank, but no people. And $150,000 can hire a worship team, a youth pastor, come on, step out in faith, and a year from now or 2 years from now, all of a sudden, you got all kinds of life in that church. You know why? Because why? Why? Because they're not dreaming. They're, guess what their dream is? Their dream is limited to their financial security. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? If all you're thinking about is your security, then guess what? What if when your security falls off? The Bible says, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. See, I can't lean on my security. I can't lean on my stocks. I got to lean on Christ. And when I'm leaning on Christ, see, because here's the thing. That's why I've seen divorces and businesses and people break down that were sincere believers because their security was on the silver and gold and not on their relationship with Jesus. And when they lost things, when there was diminished, when financial began to drain, guess what they did? They drew back and they began to get in their shell and they thought, I'm worthless. I'm no good. I'm not a success. Look, I've lost my business. Wait, when the church, you're not a success because you're wealthy. You're a success because you belong to Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? And because you belong to Jesus, you are the most successful people on the planet. Oh, come on, church. And I'm not saying God can't bless us. I want to be blessed and belong to Jesus. Now listen. Because his expectation was in the wrong thing. And because his expectation was in money, it left him crippled. It left him paralyzed. And the church had no power and no presence operating in the church at this time, so they couldn't do anything to alleviate his suffering. Listen to me. I'm going to switch translations because the King James does the best on this next verse. Probably because I memorized it in King James. This is one of John Harkey's life verse. You all know it by heart. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Now, church, early on in this message, we've already established he had silver and gold. So what was he implying when he said to the blind, to the crippled man, silver and gold have I none? What he was saying is this: my silver and gold has been designated for God. It's not designated for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you know what I'm saying? It's not designated for you. It's designated for God. And if I give you the silver and gold that belongs to God, guess what happened? I'm going to fall into a curse. Come on, church. I'm going to be paralyzed. Now, I want you to see this. Now, I have some friends in Kentucky and they live about 4 or 5 hours from here, and they're millionaires. And so I'm at their house, and we're having dinner at their house. They own 2 radio stations. They're both lawyers. They both graduated from Asbury Seminary. They're brilliant people, great people. And they go to a small charismatic church in their area. They live out in a rural community of about 30 people. So around the table, we got talking about tithing. And so they told me, now they make about $2 million a year. That's how much the radio stations and between their lawyer and other businesses they have. That's about what they make. So their tithe roughly is about $200,000 or so a year. And so we're talking about tithing. And all of a sudden, they tell me, you know, Brother Harkey, we don't tithe to our church. Now, I'm in a dinner table, right? And I hear this statement, and I say, I didn't hear. I stand up, and I say, whoa, what are we going here? What in the world are we talking about? You mean to tell me you don't pay your tithe to your local body? So they said, sit down, Brother Harkey. Because, you know, sometimes it's good to hang out with people smarter than you. This is what they said to me. I'll never forget it. Oh, Brother Harkin, we pay our tithe. We do tithe out of our income. But we don't tithe to our local church. The reason why is if we gave $200,000 to our church, they wouldn't know what to do with it. So we give to ministers. Now, we give to our church. We're the largest giver in our church. But we give to ministries that are moving and shaking. Now, church, let me tell you what I'm getting at. There's a reason why Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Why do I want to sow my money into something that's not dreaming? Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's not moving, that's not shaking, that's not doing something. Now, church, I've been here 2 days. I already know God's moving here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I already know God's moving here. You don't have you had 261 at Easter. All you had is 30 less the next Sunday. Come on, church. God's moving here, and that's why you need to expand. That's why you need to grow, because God's moving here, right? So that means to tell me there's people in this church that are dreaming. Come on. You know what I'm saying? So guess what I want to do? I want to sow into something that's dreaming. Because when I sow into something that's dreaming, I get a return on my investment. See, they're millionaires. I'm not. And they taught me something. And I looked at that scripture, and I never looked at that scripture like that. That's the first time I saw it. That's it. Peter didn't want to help him. He says that if I give you this money, it's going to keep you in the same place. It's just going to keep you stuck in the same place. You're going to come here and you're being here daily. You're going to do the same thing. There's not going to be no change. There's no transformation. Because when and then I'm fueling this whole thing by my actions. Church, I'm not doing that. Because there is a generation that needs to be picked up. There's a generation that needs to be pulled up and built up. Listen to this. Everybody say, silver and gold have I none. Now, I'm going to tell you this because I know this. The American church, and I'm making a generalization, most of the American church compared to the rest of the world has silver and gold. How do I know that? Well, let me tell you, I'm at a conference last year. There are 2,000 people in the conference. Cindy Jacobs is there, a number of well-known prophetic voices, and little John Harkey's there. And the pastor in the green room comes up to me and says, John, now the conference cost the church for 4 days $180,000 for 4 days. That's not including the expenses that they have to run the church. That's just the expenses of the conference. And so they have a registration fee, which is, you know, not that expensive. However, the registration fee, even with 2,000 people registering for the conference, doesn't meet the expenses of the conference. So what they do is they take offerings during the meetings. So the pastor said, John, I want you to take an offering for the conference this morning. I was the first speaker at the 9 o'clock session on a Saturday morning. Now, there's 2,000 people. And you know what? In that offering, $75,000 was given. And I thank God for that because it met the need of the conference. And then, you know, because that's why I know. Because here's the thing. We can get enough people. We can get a cause. Come on, church. We get 2,000 people. We tell them the cause. We can raise money. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Somebody in our church family is sick or in need. You know what? We can raise money to help them. We can all do that as we all contribute. Now, last summer, I think it was in August, you know, we go to this church, not a very large church. I expected from a larger church, it was relatively, you know, 100, 200 people around there. The pastor, I spoke one service. The pastor handed me the love offering at the end of the Friday night. Just spoke one time. Friday night, I go back to my hotel. I open the envelope, and it's $10,000. And I was rejoicing, Pastor Shane. I was rejoicing. Here's something that hit me. Can I tell you something? The church in America has silver and gold. But the church in America can't say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Because, church, who cares about $75,000 or $10,000 if I can't see somebody healed, if I can't see somebody delivered, if I can't see somebody transformed, if I can't see somebody saved, if I can't see somebody, who cares about the silver and gold if I can't do that? Come on, are you hearing what I'm saying, church? See, because we can't say what that fisherman say. Come on, church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But I want a church. God is saying, I want one church in America, one church in Indiana, one church in Madison that can say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. In other words, I'm going to pick up a generation. I'm going to pick up people that are on the verge of divorce. I'm going to pick up the people that are demons are attacking them. I'm going to pick them up. Oh, come on, church. Yeah, we can say
We can collect an offering. And it's not that we don't need to collect offerings. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is God is saying prophetically, can I have some people that will contend with Peter and John had? That will contend for it. And say, I am not going to live in an atmosphere absent of his power and presence. I'm not going to do that. Somebody needed their dream. A man was paralyzed that needed his dream. And no, the people that carried him didn't love him. Even the rest of the church didn't love him. But Peter and John, who they've been with, they've been with Jesus. They've been with the greatest dreamer. Come on. They've been with Jesus. Come on. And when you've been with Jesus, I'm an intercessor. I'm a prayer warrior. Well, when you're a prayer warrior and you're an intercessor, you're probably the biggest dreamers, not the most depressed. I've seen people, I'm an intercessor, and they're sad. I say, what Jesus have you been with? Because the Jesus that I serve, come on, church, the Jesus that I serve, that when you talk to him, he fills you with his ideas. He fills you with his joy. He fills you with his peace. And you come out of your prayer closet dreaming about other people. God, you're going to do something. You're going to do miraculous things. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now, church, that was a prophetic word. That was a proclamation. Which means, see, if you caught what Pastor Shane said at the beginning, that we have to be people of faith. Can I say something to you? Sometimes it's easy to proclaim something, but then we don't act on what we proclaim. So many times people's prophetic words don't come to pass, not because it wasn't a true word. It's simply because they didn't act on what was decreed. Are you hearing me? They didn't mix it with faith, right? They said, they might have fell down. They might have cried. They might have had an emotional experience. But you know what? The Spirit might have touched them. But they don't get up and say, I'm acting on this thing. I'm acting on this dream. Especially when it's a confirmation, if it's something that, this is God. Because, church, I see this. I see people in the body of Christ touched by the spirit of prophecy, but then a year later, they're still in the same place. What happened to the prophetic word? What happened is, now, write this scripture down. It's Hebrews 10:36. Let me make sure, because it could be 10:38. I want to make sure. Let me get to it real quick. I'll just do it. We'll get back to Acts. Can I have a few more minutes? 10:36. Yeah, I got it. And let me get to the New King James. Okay, got it. Listen to the author of Hebrews said. He says, for you have need of endurance. Everybody say, need of endurance. Now, I can tell you something. I know a little bit about endurance, Rick. I ran up that hill today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so I started there at the river and followed the Heritage Trail, and I ran up that hill. And I'm thinking, when is this hill going to end? You know. And of course, you know, it ends about that there up at the hospital, you know, there. And I was so thankful I made it. Of course, it was a lot easier running down, you know. But I know a little bit about endurance, because here's the thing, church. Because when your mind, here's what happens to my mind. Body, I don't like this. This hurts. Your legs hurt. You're 52 years old. You're not 22, even though in my head I still think I'm 22, you know, but my wife always reminds me,
All right? So I'm running up the hill. And so and my heart rate is going up a little bit. And I'm huffing and puffing. And I'm the only person running. Everybody else is walking. I know something about endurance. But see, here's the thing, church. My wife mentioned that we did this Aloha run. Basically 8.5 miles. See, in endurance sports, they have this stuff. It comes in a little packet. It's called goo. It's like honey. It's kind of the consistency of honey. So when your body gets somewhat fatigued, what you do is you open it, you suck it out, and all of a sudden, there's a shot of energy. Come on. That hits you because it assimilates right into your bloodstream, right? And all of a sudden, when you eat it, it's like whoosh. You know, you just start taking off. So I'm in the race, you know, and especially when I'm racing, what happens is I'll have a few goos in my pocket. So when I feel like I'm getting tired 2 or 3 miles down the road, and all of a sudden I feel like tired, I'll open the goo, shoom, I take it, and all of a sudden I get this next wind. Oh, church, listen to what Paul said. Listen to what the author of Hebrews said. He said, for you have need of endurance, because, church, here's what we need. We need endurance to finish.
That's it.
See, God wants to finish what he started in this church.
Yeah.
Come on, church. He doesn't want us to finish just because we proclaimed it. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus. Great proclamation. But he wants to finish the job.
Oh.
For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Because listen to this. This is all of us are in this place. Every one of us in this room are in this place. Most of us, all of us probably, what's Monday night? Maybe not Sunday morning, but the Monday nighters. All of us are in the will of God. You follow me? But there's this gap between being in the will of God and the promise. And we are all in that gap, every single one of us. We've had tokens of God's promises fulfilled, but there are promises yet that God has revealed this by His Spirit. God has revealed it to us through His Word to us in times of prayer, confirming things that we have yet to receive. This is why I love the prophetic word. Ugh. Because what happens is, all of a sudden, there's this gap, this delay, right? And what happens when I get a prophetic word is, all of a sudden, you know what happens to me? It is here I am doing the will of God, and you know what? I haven't received the promise. But what it does is when I get a prophetic word, all of a sudden, there's a shot of energy that comes into me. Come on, church. And all of a sudden, the promise becomes clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. And so I start acting on the promise. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? See, getting back to Acts 3, you can turn back there. Getting back to Acts 3, notice what he said. Now I'm going to turn back to the New King James. Notice what he said. Of course, he says, silver, gold, heaven, none, such as heaven, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. But notice verse 7, because verse 7 is the key. And he took him by the right hand. Everybody say, he took him. So what did he do? He touched him. Why are we a church? We are a church to touch people. Not just stop at proclaiming. I proclaim and then I touch. Now, how do I touch? I don't sit in the pew. I don't take up space. I don't complain. Usually the people that are complaining aren't touching anybody. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know how I touch people? I get involved. I get involved in some ministry. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I get involved in something. I get on the platform. I get in back. I do something. I'm an usher. I'm something. By doing that, I'm touching people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This is why, let me just tell you, this is why churches diminish. It's not because they don't have good preaching. Because there's a lot of great preachers. They'll preach me any day. But what happens is they stop touching people. And when you stop touching people, then you become your own bless me club. And so what we end up doing is prophesying over each other and laying hands on each other. We're not touching the people that need to get their dream back. Oh, come on, church. Because many of us in this room right now have a dream and are actually operating out of our dream. But some people aren't. But a lot of people in this room tonight are operating in their dream. But so I have a responsibility. I want to touch somebody who's not dreaming. Listen. Notice what he says to him. He says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Everybody say, lifted him up. Now, here's the interesting thing. He lifted him up while he was still crippled. Many times, we want to pick people up when God's done the work. He was still paralyzed when Peter picked him up. Peter proclaimed, and then he touched, and then he lifted him up. Now, church, do you know why people don't lift people up? Because they're ashamed if God doesn't heal the person. Because they believe that the results are up to them. See, church, my responsibility isn't to heal you. Because I can't heal you. But my responsibility is to pick you up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing? It's God's responsibility to heal you. It's God's responsibility to deliver you. It's God's responsibility to fill you. It's my responsibility to pick you up. Oh, come on, church. See, it's this church's responsibility to pick this city up. It's God's responsibility to heal it. Come on, church. So we should never be ashamed. Oh, come on, church. Now think about this. I'm going to tell you this. There are many people that John Harkey and Meliana Harkey have picked up out of wheelchairs, and they're still in the wheelchair. But there are people that we have picked up that aren't in the wheelchair. Because I don't have to be embarrassed. Are you hearing me? Because the healing's not my responsibility. It's God's responsibility. My responsibility is to proclaim life, to proclaim healing, to grab you, touch you, and pick you up, and then I leave it up to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me just tell you right now, if God didn't heal that guy at the gate, beautiful, Peter and John weren't going to lose sleep over it. They weren't going to say, I'm not doing this again. You shame me, God. Are you hearing me? That's why we don't see miracles in America, because we're so caught up in what the crowd will think about us if they don't see something. This ain't a show. This is not entertainment. You can go home and watch the news if you want to watch a show and entertainment, but you came to church. We're here to pick people up. Oh, come on. Give God a shout of praise in the house. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to pick your life up. I want to pick up your dream up. I want to pick your hope back. I want to pick your marriage up. I want to. What God does with you is his business. None of my business. Church, this actually happened to me. I'm in a church, 500 people in California.
my good friend, Bishop Robert Hooks, great apostolic prophetic guy, great preacher. I'm at his church. He's out traveling. His wife's there. Son-in-law's running the service. There's 500 people. And during praise and worship, I get this woman's name named Lisa. Now, Lisa's a pretty common name. And you would think that within 500 people, there's got to be one Lisa. Okay? So we have I preach, altar ministry, and then the Lord reminds me of Lisa. So I get back on the platform, and I run up to the platform, and I say, Lisa, would you please stand up? And guess what? No Lisa. Church, Lisa, are you in the bathroom? Lisa, are you in the nursery? Lisa, are you on the campus? Come on. So you got 1,000 eyes looking at you. You missed it, bro. Now, church, if you're worried about missing it, you've already missed it. So let me give you some good advice. What do you do in a congregation, you're preaching to 500 people, you call out somebody's name and they don't show up? You call up the worship team. You transition as smoothly as possible. You know what I'm saying? That's what you do. Now, church, was I embarrassed? No. Because crucified people don't get embarrassed. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because if you've been crucified, you don't care what anybody thinks. No, I mean, you're sensitive to people, you're loving to people, but you know what? You're not worried about whether they think you missed it or not. Are you hearing me? Because now you haven't been crucified. I better not say that. I'm not coming back to their church. You know, if you haven't been crucified, you're going to hide behind the piano. You're going to crawl up in a corner. Oh, no, I'll never do this again. So we'll call up worship team. We start prophesying over people. Call altar. God's moving. So I look over out of the corner of my eye. See Bishop Hook's wife, Naomi. She's on her phone texting during altar. And this will go through my mind. I'm taking away your phone. What are you doing texting in the altar? So, you know, I continue to minister, close the service. We go out to dinner. So we're sitting at dinner, and we're talking, and Naomi, the pastor's wife, she's across the table from Meliana and I, and she says, Brother Harkey, I want to apologize for texting during your altar service. I said, yeah, I was wondering why you did that. She said, Lisa's on our staff. Lisa was in the service, the whole service, but right before you called her name, for some reason, she walked out of the building, got in her car, and went home. And I was trying to tell her to come back. You didn't miss God, Brother Harkey. Lisa missed God. Church, this is what I don't understand. When it turns 12 o'clock, people turn into a pumpkin. But you know what happened to Lisa? She missed her God moment. She missed her God moment because something was more important. Something was more important than God calling her name out. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, church, I got to wrap this up because I don't want to take too much of your time. But listen, I want to call the worship team up. But listen to what he says. He says he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Let me just tell you, church, this nation needs to be pulled up. Church, there are so many pastors I know that need to be pulled up. One of the prophetic words that God has given me for this church is that God is going to send wounded people that were wounded leaders into this church, and God's going to use the people of this church and the maturity that he's raising up to pick up wounded leaders and get them back in the army, in the race, serving God. Now, church, I want to say this. God didn't call this church to be a hospital. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Because the hospital is for sick folks. The church is not, it irritates me when somebody gets up, oh, we just want to be a hospital for the hurting. And guess what? If all you got people is on life support, come on, church. How is your church going to function? The church isn't called to be in a hospital. We're called to be an army, church. Because when I'm in a hospital, I can't go out in the battlefield. Oh, come on, church. I can't fight devils. I can't pick anybody up. I can't prophesy. But when I'm out in the middle, come on, church. They don't put soldiers, wounded soldiers, out in the front lines. Oh, come on, church. They put the most conditioned, fit people in the front lines. Why? Because they know they have the physical stamina and endurance to fight the battle. Come on, church. I need somebody in this room and say, I'm going to fight this battle. Come on, church. I'm going to pick up a generation. See, when this happened, I mean, God's going, I was just waiting for to do a miracle. I was just waiting for it. I'm just waiting for somebody to show up that was crucified, somebody to show up that wanted to give that man his dream back. Because let me just tell you, dream for others. The key to maturity is dreaming for other people that have no dream. Because I don't know, the Bible says he was born, he was lame. So he was born. So can you imagine the life he had? The suffering that he went through? I want to dream for people. Now listen. When Peter and John did that, God looks down from heaven and says, I'm getting involved in this situation. I'm stepping in right now. I'm just not going to let my church not experience my presence and my power. Because I know churches that have presence but no power. We feel the presence, but we haven't experienced the fullness of his power. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The difference between this church and other churches is going to be this. There's going to be a presence and power demonstration. We'll feel the presence of God and experience the demonstration of God's power. That will pick up a generation. Come on, church. And what God will do is God will look down and say, you know what? Well, you know what? River Valley Community Church, I'm getting involved. I'm getting involved. I'm stepping in. I'm not going to let you be ashamed. I'm not going to let you say my name and not me do the miracle for you. Come on, come on, church.
Yes.
I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to shame you. It says, listen. It says, immediately. Everybody say immediately. How many need an immediate upgrade tonight? How many need an immediately upgrade tonight? I need an upgrade. You know what happened when somebody got their dream back? They got an immediate upgrade. This town needs to walk. This city needs to leap. This city needs to praise. Because when you get your dream back, you're not going to meditate on your navel, twiddle your thumbs and sit in your seat. Oh, come on, church. You're going to walk, you're going to leap, and you're going to shout and praise God. And what God is doing in this house, he's giving the shout back, the praise back. He's giving the leap back. He's getting a generation walking again. Lift your hands toward heaven right now. Father, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. And it is a light upon our path tonight. I ask you for supernatural miracles to begin to break out right now in this room. And Lord Jesus, the biggest miracle isn't just that the man was paralyzed. The biggest miracle was he got his dream back.
That's right.
Lord, I ask you tonight. I ask you tonight, God, that there are people here that may have lost their dream. May have just lost it. It's not that they don't love you, not that they don't worship you, but they've lost their dream because of what life has done to them. Even what has happened in the house of God. But tonight, as a result of this word, let your spirit touch their heart, their mind, their soul, to give them their dream back.